Good afternoon and welcome to Corporations and Democracy for March 13th, 2017. This is the program that examines how corporations dominate our democracy and what citizens are doing to replace corporate dominance with true democracy. I'm Steve Scalmanini with co-host Annie Esposito. The opinions expressed on Corporations and Democracy are those of our guests and the hosts and not necessarily of the management of Mendocino County Public Broadcasting. But recently I've noticed single-payer health care in the news numerous times, both locally and in the local press, the Ukiah Daily Journal, and statewide in the context of the current campaigns underway this year. So I thought today would be a good time to have a look at the status of health care reform and related politics early in this election year. With us today are two guests who've been involved with single-payer health care for years in Northern California and beyond. Catherine Donahue, RN, is retired from 40 years as an acute care nurse and served on the board of directors and on several committees of the California Nurses Association. She is now still active with the CNA as a retiree and with the Humboldt Del Norte Central Labor Council, among other roles with the North Coast People's Alliance, and that's the previous Humboldt County Bernie-crats, and the Progressive Humboldt Coalition. As a member of Healthcare for All Humboldt, she has obtained new support for resolutions for one particular bill, SB 562. That's the well-known bill for single-payer healthcare in California, from the city councils of Eureka, Arcata, Blue Lake, and Trinidad, from the community service districts of Manila and Willow Creek, and she's working on a few other cities and community service districts in Humboldt County. I won't venture a guess what she does in her spare time. She sounds pretty busy. So, Catherine Donahue, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
And Martha Kuhl, also RN, has been a registered nurse for 37 years, working at Children's Hospital in Oakland, where she currently cares for children in the hematology oncology unit. Martha is secretary-treasurer of the National Nurses United and treasurer for the California Nurses Association National Nurses Organizing Committee, and she's also the first vice president of the Alameda Labor Council. So, Martha Kuhl, welcome to Corporations and Democracy.
Hi, everyone, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice having our heroes here, nurses, right?
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Yeah. I wonder if we should start out talking about what exactly is single-payer or Medi-Cal for all. What does it really mean? What does that mean?
Well, it's Martha, and I would start with saying that it is a system that will guarantee health care for every single person. That's the primary focus of single-payer advocates. And single-payer itself means that it's a publicly funded and publicly administered system of financing health care. And the payer itself is us as a people via the government, right?
Yeah, and Catherine, does that sound right to you? Do you have any other phraseology about that?
Well, what I feel as a nurse is that a single-payer system will provide healthcare access for every citizen, minus the premiums, copays, and deductibles of the no-added-value insurance companies, which would be a huge cost savings for just the general population that many times doesn't access healthcare because they can't afford those premiums, copays, and deductibles. So it would improve the health of citizens as well as reduce costs.
And I would add, because sometimes the public doesn't completely understand that Medicare that we all get at 65 is a single-payer system. And I don't think there's a single elderly person who would give up the right to having Medicare at this point, after it's been established for over 50 years and increased longevity for all of our older population.
So Medicare for All might be an easier way for people to understand what single-payer means.
Correct.
So do you use them interchangeably then?
We do, although because we're working on this at many in states as well as across the country. We think of SB 562, the bill that Catherine's gotten all these people to endorse. It's great. We think of SB 562 as a mini Medicare for all, Medicare for all Californians, and not just citizens, but all residents of the state of California.
And I've heard it described as a three-legged stool because this is a complicated society. In order for it to work, you have to have certain elements present. Do you want to go into a little bit about some of the things it has to have in order to survive in our system? I mean, like regarding insurance and stuff like that.
Are you referring specifically to the bill we have here in California, the SB 562 bill, or just a general?
No, more in general. I'd heard that in order for it to work, I must have picked this up from Al Franken or somebody, that all the insurance companies have to agree to insure everyone, which they don't like, but that's part of it. And then everybody has to agree to get the insurance. And then there have to be, thirdly, there has to be subsidies so that the people that can't get it can get it, and without any of those three things, it's not going to work. And I don't know if
you're actually describing the Accountable Care Act, the system that is popularly referred to as Obamacare, where the insurance companies are still the intermediary between the public and providers, and we are paying taxes to subsidize people who can't afford to buy insurance or who don't get it as part of their job. And we also have Medicare. So that's a multi-payer system. The current system is kind of fragmented. And single payer, or Medicare, is we all pay into the Medicare fund, and we would all pay into a fund in California, and all and that money, we the public via the government are the insurer. So we cut out the insurance companies entirely in a single payer system, and that's where a lot of the waste and fragmentation in care and prevention of not actually giving people care but throwing up roadblocks to care happens in our current system.
So this is a beautifully simple thing.
Yes, and it's a very simple thing.
And I think the public gets confused, too, between the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare, which is the exact same bill, same law, confused between that and then what a single-payer system does, because they're two separate things. A single-payer system eliminates the health insurance company as the healthcare middleman. They add no value other than to deny care so they can make more money. That's their value to themselves, is to make money for their investors. But so they're totally two separate things, and people get them mixed up in their heads when they're discussing healthcare issues.
Okay.
Go ahead, sorry.
So the Affordable Care Act, that's been around for how many years now? 6-8 years? Less than that?
Yeah, 2009, 2010, I think.
Okay.
Right around then.
Okay. And that's still like half a loaf as far as covering, covering the public?
Yes,
it totally
did. It did advance a lot of. It did make some things better for many people. Mm-hmm. More people are insured, but my understanding is under the Affordable Care Act, 28 million people across the country are still uninsured.
Okay, I've seen that figure.
Or would be uninsured by and in a Medicare for all system, no one would be uninsured because it's us guaranteeing health care to everybody via a public finance system.
Yeah. And the previous number of uninsured before the Affordable Care Act was something like 40 to 50 million, maybe even more than that. So it's taken a big bite out of that.
It did. Go ahead, Kat.
I was going to say, and that actually is going to change starting soon, next year, because as a part of the massive tax bill that Congress just adopted last December, mm-hmm. no longer will there have to be the piece where you have to buy. Right now it's law, you have to purchase health mm-hmm. insurance mm-hmm. in the Affordable Care Act. That part is going to go away. So that's no longer going to be a requirement. There's going to be no reason why people like that are young people that are healthy perhaps won't choose to buy it any longer. So that will raise costs for those costs will raise in the next 3 years quite a bit because of just that piece. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be a system that works for everybody by not anybody having to buy health insurance.
And it's headed next year for covering less instead of more.
Yes, exactly. Plus the cost will go up. Mm-hmm. Because
and right now, 70% of all healthcare dollars spent in California, this was a study published last year by the UCLA Health Policy Institute, said 70% of all dollars spent on healthcare in California are already already public dollars. There are tax dollars. And the subsidies that help people purchase health insurance under the ACA are our tax dollars. And many of them don't get plans that actually provide them with care. They have very high deductibles, you know, many co-pays, as Catherine describing, point-of-care costs. Maybe your drug formulary is very narrow, so you don't get the prescription drug that your doctors prescribe, those kinds of things. There's still many problems, and people are often underinsured even when they have insurance in our current fragmented system.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me make sure I got that straight a minute ago. 70% of the health care costs in the state of California are already funded through taxes of some means.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, that's incredible.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay.
And that includes things like the Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program, mm-hmm. Medi-Cal, ancillary health care social services that are covered by regional centers. For people with developmental disabilities, there's the Knox-Keene and the federal Medicare program. All of those dollars are tax dollars that we already pay.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be really important when we get later into the questions about some of the oppositions to California single payer. We're going to want to have you bring up that again, the 70% already being paid for. And I guess a lot of people are kind of giving up on the national level, but we should get into what Bernie Sanders is doing with Medicare for All. But in case that doesn't fly, which is looking a little iffy, people are trying to make it happen in their own states then, and that is what I assume you are working on, California single payer.
Well, Bernie did introduce SB 1804 in the Senate, and he has 17 co-sponsors, the most co-sponsors in the Senate for a single-payer bill for quite some time, and all of the presidential contenders are co-sponsors. This is a very popular idea, but as we know right now, in the Senate and the Congress, we don't have a two-thirds majority of Democrats, whereas in California, we do have a two-thirds in both of our houses, in both our Assembly and Senate. So it would be possible in the states, and CNA and NOC has been working on in other states, because National Nurses United, as national arm of us, we're working with nurses in New York, we're working with Texas, we're working with Illinois, we're working with Ohio, we're working across the country in Maryland with various groups and healthcare advocate groups and other activists on advancing bills similar to SB 562 in each of the states. And the public may not be familiar, but in Canada, when Canada went to their single-payer Medicare for All system, they started in a province. And then it spread to other provinces and then became a national program. So there are various ways that countries have done this. I think Taiwan is one of the most recent countries, and they just did it all at once. So there's many ways that this can be done, but all across the world, in advanced countries, healthcare is guaranteed, and people pay less in taxes than they're currently paying in our system and get better health care.
We did have a single-payer health care for California that passed the state Senate and then was blocked in the Assembly. What in the world happened? I don't know who wants to answer that one.
Well, you go ahead, Martha, and then I can add
okay.
my little component
well,
at the end.
We passed the Senate in California in the Health Policy Committee of the Senate, and then the plan always was then to go to the Assembly Health Policy Committee. At the same time, we were doing a financing study, and we were to figure out how to pay for it. We have to get the policy passed first, so then you know what you're going to finance. So we got out of the Senate. The next step is that it goes to the Assembly Health Committee, and Speaker of the Assembly, Assemblyman Rendon, held the bill up in rules. That's maybe a little complicated for people not completely familiar with our government process, but there's a mm-hmm. committee called Rules, mm-hmm. and bills get released by the Speaker of the House to the various committees. It's still sitting there in Rules, and my understanding is there is a bill that was recently released from Rules after 4 years. So this bill is not dead, and part of what's going on all across the state are actions like the actions that are going around in your area, in Catherine's area, where mm-hmm. we are going door to door, we're talking to the public, we're speaking to local governments, we're speaking to our neighbors, and we're advocating that Rendon release the bill, that it go to Assembly Health would be the next step, and then after Assembly Health, it would go to the Assembly Appropriations Committee, and then it would financing would be added into the bill, and then it would go back to the, you know, there would be a companion bill in the Senate. It is not dead. Some people think this bill is dead. We think there's this huge outcry for single payer when we're knocking on doors and speaking to people all across the state. And article after article will have people in it, unfortunately, telling their stories of not getting access to the health care they need under the current system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
this is Catherine again, and in my personal opinion regarding this and in the factual knowledge that I have gleaned from research, this is a totally a political will, political issue versus a common good issue. And my understanding is that when this bill was in the Senate and being legislated, the Healthy California, which is the group that is moving this bill and is providing the information regarding the bill to the public, the bill was discussed with the Speaker of the House, Rendon's staff, and they told Healthy California, do not worry about the funding part of it. We will tackle that in the Assembly, as Martha explained how that's done. And so Healthy California agreed to that plan, and then I find it so very disingenuous when it comes out of the Senate with a positive support vote that immediately it's put on the shelf in the Rules Committee and then you hear it all over the news, and this is what people say, is this bill is woefully incomplete because of lack of funding. Well, you can't get the funding in there until the State Assembly of California does the work that we elected them to do and moves the bill through the committees. So that it's sitting on the shelf is a political move rather than a common good, which is what the people that we talk to when we do the canvassing, what they expect of our state legislature to do. So okay. That's a little backstory about why it's still sitting on the shelf. It's kind of like was set up that way to not move the bill at this time.
Sounds like it. I think I actually followed that. And so the allegation of that funding isn't figured out is premature and disingenuous at this point of its track through the legislature.
It's
really disingenuous. Let me just say that we did have the University of Massachusetts Amherst Political Economy Research Institute mm-hmm. did do a study of the bill and came up with various ways that we could spend less money in the state of California on health care overall and guarantee health care to everyone mm-hmm. than with the current system. Mm-hmm. And there is a study, but until the bill goes through committees, we can't finalize which of the various funding mechanisms would be most appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So
okay.
It is totally disingenuous that it's held up on that issue.
Okay, and then just to recap, it's in the Rules Committee. After that is the Assembly Health Committee, and then the one after that I didn't catch.
Appropriations.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think disingenuous is putting it mildly because you're getting things like it will bankrupt the state, right?
Well, we're being polite. We're on the radio.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's been difficult since we're not in eye contact with each other. I appreciate how you've organized yourself to take turns answering. So we could just have Martha and then Catherine and get you both that way. Thank you so much. So do you have anything besides hysterical laughter about bankrupting the state, starting with Martha?
Well, I want to put out a couple of facts that the study I was just speaking of said. And currently, in the current system, with the fragmented care, not everybody's covered. And if you were to cover every single person at the current expensive rate, it would cost more money. But that's not what we proposed. We proposed a system like Medicare that spends far less on administration and has major cost savings built into it in those aspects because there's not the insurance middle people. And so it would save probably about 18% and save Californians $37 billion off of our current health care costs. 15 million who are uninsured and underinsured would get coverage, and we would only need to raise, considering that we're already spending 70% of our tax dollars on health care, an additional $106 billion. Now, that sounds like a lot, but overall, the entire cost would be reduced in the state of California, and everyone would be guaranteed health care. And probably public health would be better because people would intervene in their health and health needs sooner, right? They wouldn't delay care as happens. As nurses, we both have seen that over and over.
I'm sure you have, and I read about that, and that issue gets my attention for sure, because people in a single-payer system will be seeking intervention sooner and will avoid, you know, the more serious problems in hospitalization and such for people avoiding their medical problems until it's, you know, later and the situation's gotten worse for them.
And then, Catherine, did you have anything to add to that?
I did. I had another little bone to pick, kind of a piece of factual information. Another one of the opponents' lines about this is why we should not have it is that we're going to have to apply for federal waivers and to get that 70% of the money, and because it's federal, coming from federal funding of those programs, and the money, the PPACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, in 2012 was challenged at the federal Supreme Court level. And because the opponents wanted to have it declared illegal, the whole thing was illegal. So it went to the Supreme Court in 2012, and the decision is called the Sebelius decision. Anybody can Google that and look it up. And what that says is the PPACA is totally 100% lawful. It's the law of the land. It also stated that in 2017 that any state could implement their own, it states this in the law, any state can implement their own single-payer system as long as it's equal to or better to the ACA. And it also states that in the law that the federal government cannot withhold federal funds from the states that decide to implement their own health care plan. So when people say, well, we might not get the waivers, well, that's disingenuous because in the law it states you will get the waivers, and the Supreme Court has declared that legal. So I find it also, when people say that, just another political roadblock to try to get the health insurance industry off of our backs, and making people be bankrupt. Over 60%, 50 to 60% of bankruptcies in this country are because of medical bills, and that's even most of those people have insurance. So it's not about not being able to get that 70% of the funding at all.
And you said bankruptcies, and I'll add to that, foreclosures is an issue, becomes an issue. That is very, very sad to me, but I have certainly read about it.
And again, that's a Sebelius decision?
It's a federal Supreme Court decision in 2012 when the PPACA was taken all the way to the Supreme Court to decide whether this was a legal law, and it is.
Let me take a moment to just reintroduce the program here. We're discussing single-payer health care and the status of that that effort in this election year, since I've seen it in the news more lately than in in recent years. So, and we're discussing this with two RNs involved with working for single payer healthcare. That's Catherine Donahue and up in Humboldt County, and Martha Kuhl in the Bay Area. And being the bottom of the hour, we will have time to take calls from listeners in the second half of the program. The number here in the studio is 895-2448 if you'd like to call in and make any comments or ask any questions.
I guess another big issue that's been raised is the structure of administering such a program for California, which is so huge. And there's been criticism that there was just a small group of people that would be administering this single-payer care for the whole state, and there's no way that that would work. Can you talk a little bit about how it would be administered? Martha?
Sure. We've actually, the bill itself sets out an oversight group, and that group may appear small, but there are several other committees that report to that group. There's layers of oversight in there. There's various people appointing those people. We think it's adequate. This bill is not that dissimilar from some of the prior bills that were passed all the way to the governor and then vetoed in California. And we wanted a bill that was readable, simple, and understandable at this point. If there is something wrong with that portion of the bill, the best place for it to be figured out is in the Assembly Health Policy Committee, mm-hmm. and that's where the bill should go. We actually like the bill the way it is, and we think some of these policy objections are just a question of people not supporting the idea.
Oops, sorry, somebody was. I was trying to pick up a call, and I didn't. And then they hung up at exactly the same time. To our listeners, I try to put you on before you're going to be speaking while our guests are still talking, so that you don't get dropped by the phone company. But when you hear that you are on, just remain quiet till our guests finish their answering their question. So I have somebody waiting right now, and if you would just finish what you were saying about the structure of the.
I'd like to be specific about that.
Go ahead,
Catherine. The bill would create a Healthy California board to govern the program, and it would be made up of 9 members as it stands now with demonstrated and acknowledged expertise in healthcare. And then it would also require the Secretary of California Health and Human Services to establish a public advisory committee to advise the board. So on all matters, of policy and how that works. Those would be appointed positions. But that's like Martha said, it would be in flux, and it would be the legislature's job to figure out how that would fit and how that would work. So it's not going to be just handed off to people that don't know what they're talking about. There would be a public advisory committee, it would prohibit health care service plans, health insurers, from offering health benefits covered by any service for which the California law would provide. So they totally would have it in hand if they were legislating it.
Okay, thank you. We do have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I have two questions. One is about the 70%. I heard it two different ways. One is that 70% of the healthcare dollars spent in California is publicly funded, and shouldn't call it tax, because I assume a lot of that's Medicare, which is technically not a tax. And so that was one way I heard it. The other way I heard it was that 70% of the state budget goes to health care. So,
no, it is not 70% of the state budget. It's 70% of the dollars already spent in California on health care are public monies.
Makes
some of
sense.
Which
that, and that includes Medicare, because seniors are the
Medicare, the ACA subsidies, the
right.
CHIPS program, graduate medal, you know, various
right.
kinds of other Medi-Cal,
right.
you know, those there
and
are
those,
all kinds of funds already spent.
And those
right.
are tax dollars. Those are dollars that you pay in tax to the federal government, which then in their budget, how their budget works, they send back to the state to cover those issues. So it is
even
tax money
Medicare?
That you're spending.
Even Medicare?
Medicare is tax money. You've paid into it the whole time you worked, and then the government administers that, and then they send it back.
Okay.
So it's money that's been paid in taxes,
right.
and your
so people are trying
employment
to prevent,
taxes.
Social Security from being eroded, kind of try not to call it a tax, but that's not an important quibble. And the other question I had was, is it part of the Affordable Care Act that the state,
hello?
That the Fed, hello?
Hello?
Are you still there? I'm
yeah,
still here.
Yeah. Just keep talking, please.
Hello?
Please continue.
Continue.
Okay. So the law that says that the feds have to kick money down to the states that pass single payer, is that part of the Affordable Care Act, or was that part of the Supreme Court decision?
No, it's a part of the PPACA. It's a part of the Affordable Care Act. It's in the Act. It's part of
okay,
the law.
Great. Well, thank
and
you
the
so
Supreme
much.
Court
thank
just
you.
Upheld that it is the law of the land.
Got it. So thanks so much for the work that you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I have two quick questions. I'm a little confused, seeing as we have a fairly progressive governing body here in California. Who is it that is hanging this up, and why? You say it's been hung up in committee for a long time. And then second one, real quickly, will this also cover dental? Is dental considered medical, which I think it should be? And I can take my answers off the air.
Okay, thank you. All right, so
dental and vision are covered. Medicare would be part of this program. We think of this as covering you from head to toe, all body parts. We're nurses. We know that Medicare is that there's parts of the program that aren't perfect, but we need to build on that, and we need to have a truly guaranteed health care system that addresses mental health needs, dental needs, vision needs, general prevention, you know, all the things that we all need from cradle to grave.
And what was the first part of that question?
So it's being hung up in the state legislature. Who is doing this, and why are they doing this?
The Democratic Party right now is in a conundrum of hurt, because there's two sections of the party right now, and they're kind of battling back and forth. It's kind of because back in 1993 and 2009, when the president, then a Democrat, was Clinton and Obama, were trying to move something like a single-payer system forward, they were rather beat up about it. And then the following election, that's when we lost all the Democratic seats, because everybody was angry. And so the government is having a real hard time embracing this as something that's viable, because they don't want to lose their elected seats. Plus, so we have a neoliberal side of Democrats that accept corporate donations. They get a lot of funding from corporate donors, including the health insurance industry, pharmaceutical industry, et cetera, et cetera. And so they, like all the politicians that are owned by the corporations, really fear at pushing this forward. And then you have the progressive side of the Democrats that are like sick and tired of the status quo. And there are politicians that now are kind of endorsing a single payer. And how do they go about that without, I mean, it's just kind of a conundrum right now for the Democratic Party. And that's why it's hung up. We have a lot of neoliberal corporate Democrats, even though they're Democrats, in our state and in the country that are opposed to single payer. And they're not, I mean, you can look them up. I can give you their names, or you can look them up yourself, but it's really holding up this legislation.
Let's see. We have another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Am I on the air now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Well, it must be a delay. yeah, hi, Annie. This is John Spitz from Laytonville. I want to thank you and Steve a lot for having this discussion on the air. And I want to thank your guests for coming to the show. I think the nurses are just awesome in what they're doing. I wanted to talk about the problem, why it's being hung up in the legislature by and it turns out that our assemblyman Jim Wood is a big player in this because he is head of this so-called select committee that Speaker Rendon has established to stall the bill. And it's up to us in his district here to get together and really make a strong push to get him to switch his position. And, of course, as you've been saying, the reason he's taken the position he has is because he's taken lots and lots of money from the health insurance and the pharmaceutical industries. And so he's one of those bought politicians that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I see you've done your research.
Yeah, I've been following this issue, and I've been trying to push for it down here in Mendocino County. It's really wonderful what they've done up there in Humboldt County. And it's just we need to emulate that.
And do we know about Rendon, his financing? And
he's been taking the money. It's Rendon and Wood are the two biggest money people for the industry.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
And that's all public record. You can look that up right on the internet.
Okay, I assume you did.
Okay, thank you, John.
Yeah.
John Spitz, Laytonville, really appreciate your
call. All right, well, thank you. Talk to you. Take care.
All righty. Yes, we do have what appears to be a split, very gentlemanly, between our representative, Jim Woods, and our state senator, Mike McGuire, one McGuire being for the bill. And Woods says he's not against it, but there's some alterations need to be made. Hello, you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air. Well, I don't know why they're not responding. Can you hear me? You're on the air. Okay, well, they were on the air, and I guess they went to feed their dog or something.
Please call back if you heard that.
So do we want to get into the different political candidates who have different opinions of this, or would you like to talk about the campaign on the street right now, knock on every door, because we have less than 20 minutes left?
Well, I can give you really quickly a resource to go to if you want to know about what the last gentleman just spoke. Mr. Wood has published an essay a few months ago. It was December, actually. And the North Coast Journal is a publication up here in Humboldt County. They do excellent investigative journalism work. They've won awards for their investigative journalism. He had a op-ed in there on December the 28th in the North Coast Journal. It's easy to look up, and you can read exactly where he stands on this issue. And then I wrote a response op-ed, and it came out on January the 18th. And the North Coast Journal published that one. So both of those op-eds, and I answered point by point all the points that he made. So you can look those up, North Coast Journal, those dates, December 28th and January 18th, and you'll kind of get an overview of what his position is and then what I feel, my opinion, what I feel like those positions, what they represent. So
okay, and that's
just a source.
And that's Catherine speaking.
Yeah, and I would add, actually, as a great resource for people who want more information on the bill, what's going on door-to-door canvassing, and all the activities that they go to, the Healthy California website. It is www.healthyca.org. or you just put in Healthy CA, Healthy California Act, you'll get there. And it has a wealth of information. It has, you know, fact sheets on the bill. It has fact sheets on health care. It has who supports the bill, who does not. It has some of the information that was given by the prior speaker. And if you want to get involved in some of the activity all over the state, or canvassing in your neighborhood, that there's a way to get involved at that website.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Because we do think that what we're finding is that not every politician, as you're saying, supports the right. They say, I support universal health care. But when it comes down to it, when they're faced with a bill that would actually implement it, solve the problems of our fragmented health care system where people don't get care, go bankrupt, die for lack of care, actually, we have higher infant mortality, shorter life expectancies, more chronic conditions. This is the, I just have to get those things as a nurse out there.
Mm-hmm.
People are suffering in our current system. But the website will help the politicians say they support it, but then faced with a bill that will do it, they're not. And it's important for the public to hold our elected people accountable on this issue. That is the only way.
That's what's moving them.
Yes,
absolutely.
And it is moving
That's what's
them.
Moving them.
Yeah.
It is moving them, and but actually what they're moving to then is a public option. So everybody that's trying to come up with something to prevent single payer is coming up with a bill that will include the insurance industry. That's what the select committees were all about that they've just had. It was how do we keep the insurance companies in here with a public option, but that keeps the insurance industry as a no added value player, which is not cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if anyone
you will see some bills.
If anyone doesn't think that, if you know about the healthcare insurance industry, they actually call at a medical loss when they pay an insurance claim.
Mm-hmm.
That's their term for it.
So let me clear up a couple of terms we've heard through the program, and one of them just a minute ago. So universal health care has nothing to do with single payer. I mean, universal health care is sort of it sounds nice, but it includes insurance companies, which are going to be denying people, some people care, and we're still going to have a problem with people not covered for some medical problems.
You're correct.
Okay. And then single payer health care and Medicare for all, we've used interchangeably, and that's the terms which you support then.
Yes.
That's okay. Basically correct, but the federal government is also coming up with some plans, Medicare Extra for All, mm-hmm. which also includes a public option. It's a public option kind of thing. So you have to be really careful. You have to really research exactly what it is.
Okay, so that'll be explained. If you go to the Healthy California site, that'll help differentiate these different terms then.
Absolutely,
Can I then introduce some specific candidacies and campaigns for governor, because I did look at some of those, and there's about half a dozen candidates that are polling in the 4 to 6% or above, and so I went and looked at some of their websites. Now, it looked to me like Gavin Newsom is one of the leading candidates in polling, and his website emphasizes mental health needs. But not particularly universal health care or single payer. So is there anything you know about that you can add?
So Gavin Newsom made San Francisco the first city to have a program of insurance that would cover everybody in the city and county of in the city of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
County's the same borders.
Yes.
He is also the candidate who has backed and spoken publicly in support of 562, Healthy California, and states in his campaign speech and in the debates that single-payer health care is the only way to solve the health care crisis in California.
Okay, that's not real strong or not really clear on his website, so for what that's worth. But
so
okay, so
we
he's
will,
supporting it.
Those advocates, I guess, could
mm-hmm.
Write him and say, come out stronger, please.
In writing.
Yes. Obviously, we're not making endorsements here. We're just telling you what their websites say about their position on single-payer health care.
Yeah. And I haven't looked at where funding is coming from for the different campaigns, so that's a level of detail I didn't jump into. But I did want to mention that some of the talking points you mentioned that you said were disingenuous do appear on the website for Antonio Villaraigosa. And so he says the first priority on health care for the next governor must be to stand up to Donald Trump and preserve the ACA. Well, the ACA is sort of second best.
Yeah, includes health insurance.
Yes, yes. So, and then he here's a talking point. SB 562 would require more than doubling of state taxes.
Right.
Well, you know, people wouldn't be paying premiums, so they'd be taxed somewhere. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. Well, at the state party convention, the Democratic State Party convention last month, there were four candidates, including Gavin Newsom and also Delaine Easton, who called out their peers for not supporting a single-payer health care system. So, I mean, the public pressure is pushing the politicians towards this, and it's painful for them. So,
okay,
there
says
politicians that are running for governor that do approve of single payer, and that's something that people need to research.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now also another quote from his website. This is from Villaraigosa. I oppose SB 562. Our priority should be to achieve universal health care in California by expanding the Affordable Care Act. So anyway, that's then Delaine Easton. Yes, she is apparently the most outspoken that I've seen. Says on her website, she's the only candidate for governor who has been a staunch supporter of SB 562 from the beginning. And as a slight tangent to that, she would help fund it with profits from from a public bank. That's a topic that's discussed occasionally on this program, on other editions of this program, but for what it's worth. And then I did check John Chang's website, and he only mentions three issues. And healthcare is not one of them, so it doesn't get any visibility there.
Okay.
Very interesting.
And then I'm not up on any of the Assembly and Senate races for this year, so is there anything you've heard about those that's worth mentioning?
Well, all I know is the Jim Wood race, because that's my district where I live, and and I do know he does have a challenger. Like Delaine Easton, who is not accepting any corporate funding for his campaign. So he does have a challenger. And I think people are becoming educated and learning that they have to step up, participate, become knowledgeable if they want the status quo to change. And that's regarding across the board for many issues, not just healthcare. We're talking about gun control and women's rights and, I mean, on and on and on. So I think the population itself is becoming more engaged, and which is a great sign. It gives me hope. And I just tell people, keep it up, you know. It's going to take all of us to push this. If we don't do it, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind callers.
Could I add on the federal level that Feinstein has been a vocal opponent of Medicare for All single payer, and that she currently has opposition by De Leon, and he is a supporter of single-payer Medicare for All. In my reading about them, haven't looked at their websites recently, but from reading both of their statements and getting emails, as many people do, from various electeds and candidates, I also know in my area, AD 15, there is many of the candidates have spoken publicly that they support SB 562, and there is a nurse running for office who clearly has it as part of her campaign.
Oh, down in the Bay Area there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and also Nancy Pelosi is opposed to single payer, and also Jim Wood's opponent, Kevin Murray, on his website, he's also running on single payer. So there's a lot of people that are running for office right now that support this, and hopefully we need to support all of them so that this can become a reality.
Okay, well, there's some real specifics I'm glad we mentioned on the air, because it is a differentiator among candidates.
Yes.
It is a bifurcation, yeah.
That indeed. So let me mention the phone number again here. If anybody wants to slip in a last call, it is 895-2448. And while we're waiting for another call, can you tell us a little bit just about the CNA then, since they've been supporting this for a long time, and that is numerous years.
Yeah, do you want to go first, Martha?
Sure. We are registered nurses. It's California Nurses Association. CNA has been around for well over 100 years. A nurse's number one concern is taking care of our patients, and so we see the side of the health effects of both the bad system, the environment, poverty, income inequality, all kinds of things in who gets sick and how they're treated and who has access to health care. And so it's a natural for us to not only advocate for our patients, that's our calling and our duty, but to do it not just out at their bedsides, but in our communities. So CNA, that's the reason CNA has been active on this issue for many, many years. And one of the reasons I really love my union, because it not just focuses on our personal, you know, wages and benefits, but it knows that once we take care of those, we can help our entire communities. And when it's just, and we represent, nationally we represent over 150,000 nurses, and nurses across the country share this issue.
And also, the CNA has a website, calnurses.org, and you can go there and find the Knock on Every Door campaign. You can help by canvassing. It's very interesting to do that. You talk to people. I would say I've been canvassing up in Humboldt County. 9 out of 10 people like to engage in this conversation, and 9 out of 10 people support a single-payer health care for all. So you learn all kinds of stories from people and their issues and why they support it, which also then helps your knowledge, and you can get involved doing that. And then also, healthcareforall.org is also another organization that's worked for a long time on single payer. And they, like Healthy California, also have a great website that gives information. People can look up the bill online. People can look up the University of Massachusetts Amherst economic study of SB 562. Once you get into these organizations and their websites, you find all kinds of links of places to go to research more.
Okay, we're going to take one last very quick call. You have the last word, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I just have a real quick question. I'm totally in favor of single payer. I've been watching it for years. But I'm wondering, is there something set up in terms of how many jobs might be lost by the insurance company, which would maybe one reason they're resistant to it, or the politicians? How many jobs would be lost, and is there something to accommodate the insurance industry? And I'm totally
the bill itself, SB 562, has a just transition provision in it, and the University of Massachusetts Amherst is looking at those specifics, and they'll be releasing a study, is my understanding. But CNA did a study, I don't know, 12 years ago on the transition, and overall the economic studies showed that there would be more jobs created with everyone getting health care than there would be lost. People would have to transition, and that's always difficult, so I don't want to minimize it, but the bill provides that, and we as nurses, we're certainly cognizant of how important people's working lives are.
And I'd like to make a comment about that, because in the big picture of the people that work for the insurance companies, a lot of them know a lot about healthcare. I'd sure like to see some of those people go back and finish their medical educations and become doctors and nurses. What a concept!
Yes, and if your healthcare access is not tied to your job, mm-hmm. you would have an opportunity to do that.
Great.
Okay, yeah, and I want to thank that last caller for that question about jobs. That was a good thing to include, and we are just about out of time here.
I will add one other website I noticed some significant information on. That's the nationalnursesunited.org, which the two of you are involved in one degree or another. And to repeat the previous websites, that's calnurses.org and healthcareforall.org.
and healthycalifornia.org.
Great. Okay, well, thank you a million for being with us. It's been a very informative show, and I'm glad we got to some of the detail of candidacies and some of the races, and thanks for taking our calls from listeners.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Corporations and Democracy. It's broadcast on 2nd and 4th Tuesdays here on KCYXNZ from 1 to 2 p.m. The next edition will be in 2 weeks, March 27th, with host Linda McClure. Annie and I will return on Tuesday, April 10th. And for more information about what you can do to correct the corporate dominance of our democracy, go to www.thealliancefordemocracy.org. Thanks for listening, and please stay tuned for Roots and All with host Jeff Zolotar.